Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamma, and I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's Thursday, which means it's time to hang out with really cool people. So I made sure there's some really cool people here. And Patrice.
You're being replaced?
Yes. Yep. You're going to love the new crew. Actually, okay, so here's how this plays out. All right, so people that have watched Babylon 5, the ending of the, how many seasons were there? Five. So the ending of season four.
Do we
four,
really count five?
Yes.
I didn't like five
at
all.
I do.
Well, and see, this is what makes science fiction so wonderful, because we can all find the things that we like and we don't have to agree on everything. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful. Anyhow, the end of season four, they do this whole wrap up thing. And then we're far enough past that it's okay for me to actually say what happens, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then they introduce this whole new crew and end with the whole new crew. And then next episode, new season. It's like that never happened. It's just the same people. So that's actually what's happening here. They're building us up by making us think that we now get Thursdays and Fridays off, and they're going to show this new crew where every replacement looks vaguely similar to each of us, and then they'll all be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. Jeffy, do you know the story behind it? Why that happened?
I heard, and I don't know if this is correct because I never verified it. They thought that the season five was actually canceled, and so they did a wrap up, and then they found out they really had season five.
Well, so, no, yes and no. It's a confirmed thing. The studio had canceled season five. Like, it was planned as a 5-season show, and mm-hmm. they canceled season five. They said, okay, it's ending after season four. So they like rushed to wrap everything up in season four. And then I think as they were even, I think, releasing the last couple of episodes, they decided, oh, well, no, by the way, we're continuing. So they pushed out, I think, the final episode and the, mm-hmm. the finale, and filmed a bunch of random extra stuff just to fill in another season.
This absolutely makes sense, because I really felt like season five was a lot of weird filler stuff, mm-hmm. and unnecessary storylines.
Yeah, and that was basically it. And then the actual finale, the last two episodes, that was what was planned for the end of season four.
Yeah, so that was actually filmed was season four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is why none of the people from season five appear.
Exactly.
Okay.
Made no sense whatsoever, but that's exactly what happened.
Okay. While it doesn't make sense from the storytelling perspective, it totally makes sense from the logistics perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. And I think I'm probably in the minority of people who didn't think Babylon 5 was all that and a bag of chips. I thought it was a very frustrating series, because there was some really, really bad writing. But at the same time, there is some amazing storytelling.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's still one of my favorite shows of all time. It's definitely one of my favorite sci-fi shows. It's definitely in top three. But you're right. Like, there was like, yeah, there was some bad writing in between. The story arc, the storyline, I think you see where the showrunners were kind of running the ship, and where the overall story arc was mm-hmm. was like being constructed, and then other people filled in.
Okay.
And that's
what it feels
like.
Yeah, I agree. And some of the payoffs that we got, where you're in season four and you get a payoff mm-hmm. from what was practically a throwaway thing mm-hmm. in season one, and yeah, the way they did interweave things I mean, there was some brilliance in the story writing for that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. It just it has a special place in my heart. Like half of my devices have names from Babylon 5, including my little vacuum robot, which is a Pacmara. So.
Oh, of course it is.
It has a name of a Pacmara, like Vlure is the name. So it's one of the nobody knows that. Like I looked it up. It's one of the Pacmara. Eats garbage, so that fits.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. Yeah, getting through Babylon 5. I didn't watch it when it was originally on, and I don't know why I just didn't. But I guess it was early in the pandemic when we just couldn't go anywhere. I decided.
And I probably told you about it 15,000 times.
Yeah, I think you were the catalyst for me to watch it, and so I sat down and I started with episode one. And over the course of a few weeks, got through the entire thing. I have not watched any of the movies that they made to go along with it. But I watched every episode of the series. And I mean, there are some episodes that I really, really enjoyed. Like really good, really good writing, really good storytelling, really good acting. And then there's other episodes where it just felt like the whole thing was just phoned in.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's probably also the episodes where they had to save money. So they didn't have a big budget anyway, so.
Well, they made it cheap, didn't they? They made it really cheap. I mean, the original.
They barely had a budget at all. Like, you can tell in places, like, okay.
I mean,
but they were very smart. Like, they were very smart with their budget, like how, like what they would spend it on. They never skimped on. Like making up aliens and making them look, I would say, reasonably real, like and weird and different, and not just forehead of the week.
Yeah, yes. I think they did that really well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as I said, even with
it was
no
made
budget,
on Amigas. I mean that wins my love just because it was one of my first computers. It was a lot of the effects initially was done on the video toasters on Amiga. And so that's got that inspires a little bit of love there.
And you can tell.
Oh God, you can tell.
And sometimes they just took the same shot or same special effect shot that they have done, and then just, I don't know, like flipped it or mirrored it or with something or put something on top of it and then reused it.
As did Star Trek.
Star Trek
and Next Gen and all those ones. And all of those American shows, I think MacGyver was one for robbing bits of video out of, then you just plane appearing. It was something out of Top Gun they stole, or something out of another movie with a plane in it. You know, it's so they got that shot in. You know, it's just you know, it's.
So I've lost track. I think I started by saying hi to you, Patrice.
I don't think we even started, but we kind of wanted to. I think you wanted to.
So I haven't said hi to anyone yet.
No.
Nice. Where we're going, we don't need rails. All right. Well, then in that case, Patrice, hi and welcome back.
Thank you. I'm back. It was a good trip last week. I mean, I was back on the Mac show on Friday, so yay me.
Yeah, you. But for some people, I mean, they may, for whatever reason, may only watch the big show. So this is their first chance to get to see you again.
I mean, they will probably like see this episode in like 6 months or 2 years. So I don't know.
They're watching it on their timeline.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. No, I'm sad. I had a interesting, let's put it this way, trip to Germany. It was really good on one hand, and it was a complete disaster when it comes to transportation, because Germany, like anybody who tells you German rail is like that all that great, they're lying. Like,
I've been
rails,
on the D-Bahn,
it
was perfectly usable, but no, it's not as reliable as Swiss rail. Yeah,
Swiss, Austrian, like they're really good.
Swiss are really good.
Yeah,
Italians are surprisingly good as well.
Yeah, it's so true.
You wouldn't think, because you think Italy, it would be chaos. No, everything works really smoothly when I used it last. I was there.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Totally correct. No, yeah, like the trip, like the flight I wanted to take on Monday was canceled because of a strike, so I had to move that to Sunday. So I traveled on Sunday, and then of course all the trains were also like completely overbooked and everything. So I barely even got from the airport to like to my hotel, and I was like, okay, well, I kind of expected that, and then on the way back, the trains were canceled again because there was some issue with the tracks or something. So I barely made it to the airport. So it's like, yeah, trains don't work in Germany, I guess.
That's
but I
good
made
to
it.
Know.
I made it. I made it to the check-in counter with 1 minute to go. So I made it.
Yep.
Nice.
And then rushed to the gate and arrived there. And the guy at the counter looked at me and was like, "Yes, what do you want?" And I'm like, I want to get on the flight, and he's like, "We haven't even boarded yet. Like, we're gonna board in an hour, maybe." I'm like, oh. So I
yes.
was, yeah. I and then the plane was delayed by two. Like it they boarded 2 hours later than they were originally supposed to leave. So I arrived here way past midnight. Instead of like 10 p.m., I was like, yeah, like something. Something around like 1 a.m. Oh, is it? Wow. So,
yep. Welcome to our new comedy, Das Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
So true. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, what I've taken from that is Germany just does not want me to visit it. So I'm not gonna.
All right. Well, you know, it's important to pick up what the universe is putting down, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, unfortunately, I probably have to be back in 2 months or so. So we'll see.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I will leave even earlier this time. So hopefully if something gets canceled, it doesn't matter.
I got grounded in Munich once because thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. Not going anywhere.
Yeah, weather in Germany. Like,
yeah,
totally
I ended up. I slept in Munich. I slept in the airport.
Oh wow! Yeah,
and then got
that is really
then,
bad. I've not had to.
No, it's actually not Munich. It was Frankfurt. Frankfurt, and I ended up sleeping in the airport,
okay.
And then
mm-hmm.
and then getting the and being up really early to get my ticket, the exchange ticket for the first flight out of there,
mm-hmm.
and then slept all the way back. I rarely sleep on airplanes, and I slept all the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. Well, Ian, you're the other half of the Stuffed Animal Brigade. So how are you?
I'm great. And so is the tiger. My animal, by the way, is this tiger who came to tea. The lovely cartoons for children.
And Patrice's is
to
a top quality
is that
chef.
Ratatouille? That's Ratatouille, isn't
it?
It
is. Mm-hmm. It is.
I thought it was an elf for a minute.
No.
If you anyone remembers Elf from long, long ago.
Oh yeah, like to eat
yes.
cats.
Yes,
yeah.
keep the residents of Melnack away from my pets.
Yeah, that'll be the
one. Oh, Ben,
that'll be the
this one. Is why yeah. I love you.
Yeah, but cool. There we are. Yeah, and so now I'm having a good week. All is well in the world of me creating training content and things like that this week. So yeah,
awesome.
Mostly what I've been up to. I think I've done nothing else interesting. No, not this week. No, it's just been. But the weekend starts here, as in the UK, we have a day off on Friday and Monday for the Easter break. So, and also interestingly today, the King's been in town. Up here
really?
In the city of York, we've had the King visiting because there's a tradition of giving more, what's called Maundy money out on the Thursday before Good Friday, and the King has been in York to the Minster, the largest cathedral in the city, and has been giving out Maundy money to old age pensioners. This is a tradition that we've done for hundreds of years, but this year it's in York. So that would have been quite nice. My daughter managed to see him when he was in town. So that's kind of interesting,
so,
I suppose.
I'm guessing he also made a speech.
Undoubtedly.
I'm confused. LeBron James flew to the UK to give out money.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And because
well.
The calendars work differently in the UK, you can tell because of the accent.
Mm.
On the Thursday before Friday, you get Monday.
Morning.
Yes.
Indeed.
See,
indeed.
It's the accent.
It's the accent, yes. It's a lovely old tradition, but yes, there's all sorts of madness. And there's a king bloke fella come, and all that kind of stuff. The old Charlie boy.
Charlie boy.
Chazza, King Chaz.
King Chuck.
Yes. King Chuck.
Chuckles the third.
Yeah, indeed. Actually, the second. Oh, no, he's the third, isn't he? Actually, yeah, no, he's
he
the third.
He is the third, yeah.
Yeah, we cut the head off the other toe.
Well, yeah, maybe we know how this ends.
Yeah. No, it was all that. Those two existed around the time of the Cavaliers and Roundheads and Oliver Cromwell and all that stuff. And so at least one of them had their head cut off.
Yeah. From my memory. What I'm hearing Revolution is, and all that stuff. Is King Charles better watch his back.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or his head.
Armor plate and collar, that sort of thing, you know. Steel collar, you know, make sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, on that happy note, Ben, how are you?
I am tired, Jeff. Not of this show. I did not sleep very much last night.
Oh,
sorry to hear it. As someone that has had chronic sleep issues for a very long time, I can empathize, and I feel your weary, weary pain.
Yes. My pain is called having Star Trek Picard release at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I did enjoy the episode.
Me too.
Yes. It's like having Christmas in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why is it released at 2?
Because it's released at midnight on Pacific time.
That makes sense then.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense then.
Yeah, 9 a.m. our time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're so pumped up, you can't get back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that.
Which makes sense.
Yep. Hey, speaking of pumped up, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I haven't been pumping iron for a while, but I'm feeling pretty good. Been arm wrestling OneDrive this week. I hate it. Also spent 2.5 hours in 2 different banks this week. If you haven't been inside a physical bank in a while, I hadn't. I don't recommend it.
I haven't either.
1 star, don't recommend.
I mean, it's never been good. But now with the staffing, I couldn't get anybody to do anything. You know, and there's stuff that you can't do online, you can't do by phone. Just anyway, I hate banks. So I'm looking for another online bank if anybody has any recommendations.
I do not, but
I do.
Revolut.
N26.
N26.
And I know they're in the US. So N26. It's a German bank, German company. So
okay.
And also Revolut's another one that's been very good, but it's getting very good ratings. I'm going to investigate that at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
N26.
Yeah, Tom, Tom, you could always go for a Swiss bank. They don't ask questions.
Yeah, I put all my money in SVB and Credit Suisse.
I was waiting for the SVB.
I'm really scared of that, yeah. Make sure you never get it back. So, yeah, it'd be really safe there.
Yeah.
It's super safe. You never get it back.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like what did they call it? The Roach Motel? They check right. out. They don't check out. It's a Roach Motel for money.
It's also the Hotel California, yeah.
Yep.
Such a lovely place.
It is a lovely place.
You can always check in, but you can never check out, can you?
You know, there actually is a hotel called Hotel California in Palo Alto. Cracks me up every time I drive by it. I keep expecting to see Glenn Frey and Don Henley, you know, coming out. But
the cars just keep piling up in the parking lot.
No, they clear them out every night.
There is a Mercedes-Benz out front, so.
Of course.
Every time I hear about Palo Alto, I can't help but think of the creamery.
Oh, you've been there?
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's the best place in the world. Hot Fudge Sundays.
Yes.
Diner food.
I was recommended it. Okay. We went for breakfast.
And Tom, we know where we have to go next time I visit.
Yeah, we can.
Absolutely go to the Palo Alto Creamery.
It's the old time, you know, it's got diner food. The food's not that good. It's okay, but it's diner food.
It's
but,
diner
but,
food.
But the place is lovely, isn't it? It's just great. Kind of, you have that kind of oldie-worldy American diners.
Yeah, that's the best place. I should pick that as my cool thing, maybe.
Yeah, you know what else is the best? TSO hosts.
It is.
They're showing all over. I've been brought to you by.
Yeah. No, I was just looking at the time, and I'm like,
normally,
you know, I could just do that, and we could do cool things, and then wrap it up. And I mean, would know
to
any
be
different.
Fair, there wasn't anything good happening this week anyway, so could just skip that.
Yeah,
I got one. Well, I got one. The Genesis market's been busted.
Yeah, but
for
Tom
a start.
Got his in first, so you have to shut up.
Oh, I did. Sorry, Ian. Sorry, Ian. You can go
it's
first.
All right,
Ian.
My man. Go for it.
Nope. I already totally shut Ian down. So it's all on you.
Okay, so since we're so far behind, I'll speak like those people at the end of the commercials. This offer is only valid in California, but if you haven't, okay. my story is about one of my favorite companies and one of my favorite people, I guess, Tesla. So it turns out Tesla has people that look at all the video and still images from Tesla cameras to manually identify objects in the images to help with their learning. So guess what happens? Some of those stills and videos get passed around in internal Tesla chat rooms. That's unbelievable. So the first surprise for me was they have so many people. They talked about different offices they had in Africa and San Francisco and other places where people look at images and identify them to help with the training. So that surprised me. It just blew me away that they had that many people. It gives you some idea of the state of the art of, or, you know, where the state of self-driving is. We have a long way to go. You've got 500 people that are saying, yes, that's a stop sign.
Yeah, stop
now. But of course,
we have... That's what the Google Captcha is doing.
This is how Google is training their AI.
Yeah.
With Captcha.
They probably are.
I bet you those people that work at Tesla identifying images are really good at captures.
I would hope so.
You know, is it surprising if you have 500 or 1,000 people that are looking at photos and videos that some of those get leaked out and passed around? I guess it's not surprising. But you would think you would have some controls, you know, security on the system. You know, the stuff would be on a separate network that wasn't attached to email or chat. You know, it's not that hard in a corporate environment to lock down networks and prevent, you know, certain activities. So I was mostly surprised by that. Gives you an indication of their internal IT practices and security is probably not that great.
Yeah, well, and they're turning some of these into memes and sharing them as well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that says a lot about company ethics right there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised though. Like, I mean, look at who is head of Tesla. Look at like the type of company and the type of culture he's built. And I mean, humans are just humans. Like, they will do stupid stuff like that. Unfortunately,
yeah. I mean, just remember all the hot water that Amazon got in over Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if even only 2% of the people are have no integrity and are happy to share that kind of stuff, you know, 2% of 500,000 people is a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, frankly, I'm not sure I'd care too much if people were sharing pictures of me sitting in a car driving. But, you know, the other thing that's concerning is it's also got information like GPS coordinates. So if you're nefarious and knew this was going on, you know, and you found some poor person that was picking stop signs out of random images and getting paid probably minimum wage, and you offered him $20,000 or $1,000 to find out where somebody is driving, you know, who knows how much of the metadata is identifying, but anyway, companies just have to get better at this stuff. It's just ridiculous.
Oh God. That's, I mean, if you flick through that article, I mean, it's some of it's properly sort of scared. Some of it's scary in a way of things like, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, a friend of mine was talking about, he has a Tesla, and he was saying that the thing that got him was he's got the cameras running on the outside and you can watch the footage. So mm-hmm. he says that the amount of time that people stop gawp, look in the car, as in just stand and generally looking at the car all the time. He said half of my videos are people dragging their kids past my car and then stopping to look and going, oh, look, it's a... And so you can imagine the amount of stuff that they're gathering.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you want mobile spy mobile. I know what... I mean, I talked months and years ago about Bricksmiths, this whole British spying thing at the end of, after Cold War, where they used to drive these cars full of cameras through East Germany, taking pictures of cameras, taking pictures of East German troop movements. Why bother with that? Just get a Tesla, drive it through Russia.
Right.
Grab the feeds and see what you got. You don't even need to put cameras on anything. You've got your ultimate spy mobile.
Yeah, and I mean that's the other thing. To my knowledge, this has not been really disclosed by Tesla.
Right.
There are a lot of high-profile people who own these cars.
Oh, yeah.
Who, if they're not, therefore, this practice may pose a national security risk.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah. I'm not surprised that Tesla has people looking at the like videos and like whatever they captured, because I mean that is one of the dirty secrets of AI research.
Right.
That is a large chunk of what's happening. Someone has mm-hmm. to sit down and basically train the AI and tell it, okay, this is good, this is bad, this is that, so on, and that is low paid human work. It's not another AI that can do that yet. So yeah, this is happening all over mostly all over Africa and probably parts of Asia.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. One of their offices was in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's where the people are skilled, and can do that, but they're cheap from our perspective, at least.
But the thing, you know, again, the thing for me that really surprised me is I've worked at companies, you know, the company I retired from, mm-hmm. on their laptop, when I got access to their network, it was really, you really had to work hard to get data off that computer, off that network outside. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you couldn't mm-hmm. write to a USB drive, you couldn't access Gmail, you couldn't access Dropbox, nothing.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm sure if you're really, you know, intent on finding a back door or a tunnel, you could find it. I found one or two, but
me too.
But
as one does
on my laptop.
but I'm sure the average person that was, you know, throwing these images around as memes wouldn't have been that interested in trying to break through firewalls, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard. It's a very basic thing. You know, if you told me about a situation where you had a need to have a bunch of people look at images that were private and it was really difficult to contain that in some sort of sandbox. Okay, I get it. That was a technical challenge. This is not a technical challenge. This is just lax security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Completely.
Anyway, another reason why I'll never drive a Tesla, you know.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing how things have been treated at Twitter, and you're looking at similarly a lack of security infrastructure at Tesla, SpaceX has some very sensitive things in contracts.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a good point.
mm-hmm.
Wait till DOD goes after SpaceX, right?
I mean... This came out at quite possibly the worst time, because Tesla is already under investigation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, SpaceX, like I said, it does have NASA and DOD contracts. So you can bet people are going to start doing due diligence into things.
Oh yeah.
I think this might be kind of like these, just seeing the tip of the iceberg.
When you get money from the DOD, it's amazing how much privacy and legal stuff you have to sign off to do that, and the kind of audits you have to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unlike other parts of the government, DOD don't mess around.
No,
they do not have a sense of humor.
Yeah, they do. They do not care how rich and important you think you are.
Well,
yep,
they have more.
Yeah, then no matter how much you have, they have more. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's like $220 billion. How cute! I just spent that on toilets.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, I bet a similar, like something similar, is happening at like most call centers. I mean, we've all heard stories from people, like they never mention names or anything, but they say, yeah, like whatever, this person bot dialed us and we were able to, like, whatever, listen to that. It's people. Like, yeah, it's not like very smart to do that. And you could say, ethical probably as well, like a problem, but mm-hmm. people do that. They it's a very stressful job, and they just want to like relate to each other, have a little fun, share something, and that's how it starts. Just go back to cat pictures and just share that, and then you don't have a problem, right?
Right.
Cat videos.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I'm going to keep us moving along, since we forgot that it was a new show earlier.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Ian, tell us about your story.
My story is another interesting one. Cybersecurity. There's a marketplace online, which is hidden in plain sight. It's not even in the Tor network. It's called Genesis Market. And it's a place where you can buy fraud. You can basically buy details that have been harvested from various websites, and you can use it for fraudulent purposes.
You can buy the Genesis device?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm calling Klingon Doc Brown.
Right.
And so
him and Khan can get everything they want without even have to, like, doing anything.
Yeah. And so this week, an operation led by FBI, Dutch National Police, the NCA in the UK, the Australian Federal Police, and across Europe have shut down loads of hackers and assorted people that have been holding the credit, have been making a profit basically off these details. So if you wanted to go and buy something and use fraudulent details, so you didn't have to use your own details, you got them from the Genesis Market, you can't anymore. It's been shut down. Been seized in Operation Cookie Monster.
Oh yeah.
And it wasn't indeed. And it's not even on the dark web either. It's a completely publicly available website.
Wow.
So things like logins for Facebook, Netflix, Airbnb accounts, all this sort of stuff they had there. There is a nice link in the article to if you want to check to see if your details have been compromised, you can go to a Dutch website. There's a portal on the Dutch website, which I'll include a link to in the chat, as we'll tell you later on where you can get to this. And that site will give you, you can whack your email address in there and they will send you an email if you've been compromised. I did mine earlier and apparently I haven't been, but so it's just your email address is all they ask for and you'll get a reply. It's the Dutch police. So it's very interesting that we are getting closer and closer to these sort of like hidden away dark web, dodgy websites are becoming more and more vulnerable to at least the police. And
yeah.
There's some protection for us in terms of identity theft.
And let me guess, the police captures your email address, and then the funniest ones they hear internally, right?
And you start getting those emails from Tesla with all the pictures in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's part of the deal.
Okay.
This is why two-factor authentication is so important.
Exactly. I've been teaching my lovely mother-in-law, who's computer savvy, but a bit frightened of all these things. I keep, no, that's really good. It's like having two keys for your house. Yeah, honestly, you can't, you know, getting two-factor authentication. It's like having two keys for your house. You've got one to unlock it, then you won't need another one. It won't unlock. You know, it's a really good idea. And you know, just, ooh, it's a bit scary. No, no, really, really, it's a good idea. And then once I got sell her the idea, and then, oh, yeah. And so, yeah, no, but it's those things of keeping your stuff safe, very important. Two-factor authentication for the win.
Yeah, I'm still surprised about how many sites. There's one bank site I use that does not offer two-factor. It's unbelievable.
In this, as he says, day and age.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing that is even illegal in Europe nowadays. Banks have to offer it.
It should be.
Yeah. Wow.
Have to offer it and have to enable it. Like it was even they were forced to enable. Like it wasn't even it's optional, hidden away somewhere.
If I had the option of using a bank that I knew didn't have two-factor authentication versus one that does, it wouldn't even be a choice.
Yeah. When I found that out, obviously, immediately said, well, maybe I should move my money out of that bank. Right. You know, to be fair, it's a small kind of local bank, but it, you know, it's got money.
But I mean, these days there is so many options and it's so easy to do, even especially for a bank, because they probably can pay for it. So it doesn't even have to be free.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's a million companies you could hire to set up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, go with Okta or something. Like specialize.
Yeah, Okta's an excellent option, or RSA. I mean, they're another company. I mean,
ask another bank how they're doing it and just copy that. Like
Okta's so simple.
Yeah,
Okta's a really good service.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
2FA for the win.
Yep, 2FA for the win. And Ben, tell us about your story.
Okay. There was this little event that happened over the weekend called April 1st. Well, Asus did their April Fool's joke as a handheld Windows-based gaming PC to take on the Steam Deck. There's one slight catch. They weren't joking.
Well, they did a Volkswagen. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. They announced something serious on April Fool's Day, so nobody took it seriously.
And then they had to say no. And for reals, we actually really mean it.
Yeah, money is like, holy crap, this thing's actually real. So, Asus's Republic of Gamers sub-brand announced the Ally. It is it's a 7-inch seven-inch screen portable gaming PC. Like I said, they've already shown some pre-production units. It's smaller, lighter. Presumably better battery life than the Steam Deck. It has a much better screen, which is 120 hertz, which is better for gaming. It is far more powerful using a Zen 4 cores for the CPU and RDNA 3 graphics cores. And they think so highly of it, they already have Best Buy ordering them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it runs Windows. So, you know, there have been like the 1X player and the Ioneos, but I have to say this looks like the first real credible threat to the Steam Deck, because this looks freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, costs a lot more too.
Because you've got Win 11, you could just run just about anything on it you want.
Yeah.
Epic Game Store, and the Xbox Game Pass, it gives you just about everything in a handheld. That sounds Brilliant, frankly. I mean, if I was interested in this sort of stuff, that would be something I'd definitely consider. Yeah. I mean, what sort of money are we talking about for that? I didn't get to the bit, which is how much it was going to be.
About $1,000 or so. But it also has a proprietary eGPU, or you can get a desktop or the laptop version of the RTX 4090. So this thing can be your PC.
And it becomes more attractive then.
It's like a gaming NUC.
Hey, so that's like the, but it's like the thing they used to talk about 10 years ago, Windows Phone.
Yeah,
right. That was going to be, you remember Windows Phone was going to be this device that you could sling in your pocket, play games on the train on the way to work, plug it in at your desk, open up Word, carry on.
Right.
Play games on the way home, answer a few calls, send a few emails, and it was all meant to be in one device. And that was meant to be the old Windows Phone technology, the original.
Yeah.
And so looks like we finally got a real version of that that's actually credible.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I have to say, if they pull it off, I'm impressed.
And I have
it's
to say,
money, mind you.
Yeah, I have to say, someone who's been covering this, I didn't think we would see something like this until we got a credible ARM Windows SoC. But what Asus and AMD have put together has impressed the hell out of me.
And there's real hardware. This is not vaporware. This is real. There's real hardware. Proper.
Like they actually sent it out to YouTuber Dave 2D.
Okay.
I'll have a look for review to see the.
Yeah, I mean
I'm fascinated with it.
Yeah, he's shown it off. It's both the gaming sticks and the SSD are completely user replaceable.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, they say it's pre-production, but to me, it looks pretty close to shipping.
Wow.
That looks awesome.
Yep. So it's coming this Christmas.
If you can get one.
Right, if you can get one. Wow. Yeah. All right. So, Ben, your setup for this was awesome because I really felt like we were discussing an April Fool's joke. And we get to the end, and I'm like, holy crap, they're actually really doing this.
That's why I hate reading news on April 1st.
I actually want to be real was I saw there was a rumor that they were going to make a spin-off of Doctor Who in the States with Bruce Campbell as the Doctor. I'd pay money to watch that. I love Bruce Campbell. I'd watch that.
But I mean, that's why someone really must have screwed up and not looked at the camera at Asus. Because there's been incredible news.
Yeah, if you work in PR, who's the idiot that said let's release this on April 1st?
April 1st, that's a great idea.
They released it on April 2nd, wherever they were, but it was April 1st.
They are a Taiwan-based company.
Yeah, so that could have happened.
But I think they gave them just themselves 48 hours of giant headache.
Yeah. I suppose if your PR team isn't in a country that recognizes April Fool's Day, it would be easy to overlook what it is.
Yeah. I can tell you this. The second it came out on April Fool's Day, they probably got a call from the U.S. PR team. It's like, you idiots.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I didn't think that I would ever say this about an Asus product, but this actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not going to get me to give up my Switch. Now that you've talked me into getting that.
And I mean, here's
you
the
just
other
wait.
Thing
We're going to talk you into paying something else.
Here's the other part about it.
I'm afraid of.
I mean, assuming this isn't some kind of custom hardware, because I don't think it is, because it's basically based on what's commercially available on the laptops, just of less cores. Mm-hmm. I think you'll be seeing a Steam Deck 2.0 sooner rather than later. The current one is a little bit behind the times.
Yeah, I was reading through the article, and it sounded like there's a suspicion that the processor in there is customized in some way, and it may be, like you say, maybe a dumbed down version of another chip to make it lower power and so on. But it's still custom. That means that AMD had to do some work and tape out a new chip and pay for it. Interesting if they have an exclusive contract with Asus. You know, did Asus pay for that and it's exclusive, or did Asus just help them co-develop it and AMD is free to sell it to anybody?
There's another option. They released it on April 1st because they were hoping nobody would believe it and they wouldn't have to produce it.
So if you don't see it at Christmas time...
Release it under the radar. We'll do it on April 1st. Don't believe us. It's going to ruin us if we make it.
Honestly, if that were the case, they wouldn't have set up a page on Best Buy.
So it's not like the Friday news dump.
Uh-huh. Well, so, Ben, to be fair, last year on April Fool's Day, Patrice set up a whole new website, new domains, new Twitter, other social media accounts.
We set up a whole new...
The American Tech Network.
I had the press release with the blog post and everything.
Everything. Yeah. Even the news show followed. Like, we had it all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because we did all April Fool stories, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely straight. We did them all. That was a really fun show. We did them absolutely straight as well. Mm-hmm. As if they were,
that was
were
also last year. Stories.
Was that say? Yeah, that was last year, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing them bang on straight.
The best part about doing our completely made up stories totally straight was that we were about halfway through the show before people started picking up on the fact that they were fake stories.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great fun.
All right. So, Patrice, that means it's your turn because you have the next story.
So, you remember I hope most people remember the thing that Apple did where they said, okay, apps now have to basically offer also a way of deleting your account, not just signing up. So screw you, Wall Street Journal. that's what Apple said, literally, almost. Google is following. Not a surprise there. I think this is probably something that the EU is pushing because... Well, following GDPR, you're kind of supposed to delete stuff and you're kind of supposed to make it easy to delete things and not having to, call someone in a call center where they try to sell you on not deleting your account and all of that, which some services have done. And Google is doing that. So they gave themselves a pretty decent grace period. It's until May 31st, 2024.
Oh, my God.
You got like a year and a half to actually implement this. But they will, I think, in December, start asking developers for that info. So, what data are you keeping? Because sometimes, there's legitimate reasons to keep data, fraud protection purposes, for medical purposes. There's some reasons or some data you can keep, but you have to disclose that. And they're going to start asking for that in December. And then from next year on, you should be able, if you have Android, you should be able to delete your accounts on whatever, Netflix and so on.
Nice.
So anything that has an app, basically anything where you can sign up an app, or on a website, you should also be able to delete. So
this is long overdue. This is a great idea.
Yeah, it is always super easy to sign up and super hard to cancel anything. Mm. And that has to stop.
You know,
that's what they want. They want you. They want your data.
Yeah, sure.
They
don't. Yeah. So here's the problem that I see with this, and the problem is that is that companies like Apple and Google are having to put policies like this in place because of a systemic issue with the way companies treat their subscribing customers.
Yep. Well, isn't that always the same?
Yeah, it's like, just unfortunate. Yeah. But yeah,
I mean, there is some good companies out there who do like really well and like allow you to cancel anything anytime and so on. There is good companies out there, but a lot of them are not doing that, especially the older, more established ones.
Yeah, they were following the same pattern of old school companies. You know, I canceled my newspaper subscription a couple years ago, and you know, you can get a subscription for the newspaper, physical newspaper online. You can sign up online, but you can't cancel online. Mm-hmm. You have to call them, and they get you get routed to a basically a salesperson.
Retention
agent. So it just takes you, instead of 2 minutes, it takes you 10 minutes because you have to listen to all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it just sucks.
Yeah, so hopefully it gets a little bit easier at least. But well, I have my doubts. I'm sure someone will find a way around it. And
yeah, of course. But you know, the fact that that Apple and Google are both doing this means that just generally it's going to be easier for most people to get out of these subscriptions, because you have the two big players that are saying, look, you got to make this easy.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not just about subscriptions. This is about any account. And I know that some Mastodon apps, for example, got caught in that because, well, since you can like log in some cases, maybe even sign up in app for a server, Apple was asking them to also have a delete option. Which is really hard when really there's like 10,000 instances out there that you have to somehow route that info to.
Yeah, the Fediverse is not going to be friendly to that.
it kind of is. It is super easy to delete your data and out of that, but for the apps that are kind of centralized, it is not an easy challenge. But they manage. Like it's doable. It's just it. I think nobody like creating such a client was thinking about that because they're not creating accounts really.
Yeah, so that's the other good thing about this is this becomes the rule instead of the exception. This is the way it works. Yeah. And sure, I'm sure some companies won't do it right, but maybe the next person that writes a Mastodon app knows that they have to take care of this up front, right?
Yeah, I mean now everybody knows, and it's easy.
Yeah,
and, it's also easy for everybody, like to delete your stuff. Like it's like it's not, oh, where do I now have to go to cancel that? You just open the app and say, delete me.
Yeah, instead of going, you know, three levels on a web page and say, please send your request to delete your data, and we'll get back to you in 3 to 5 business days.
Yeah,
years.
3 to 4 business years.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm glad that Apple and Google are both doing this. And I'm also glad
now everybody else has to follow.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay. Well, we'll come up with a different one. You know what else I like to follow, Patrice? I like to follow how awesome TSO Host is. How was that for recovery?
That was awesome.
TSO Host is awesome because they are taking what they do so well, which is provide web hosting services, bandwidth, and domain name purchases, and they are using that to help us be here for you. So what they're doing is giving us a bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows. They are giving us the hosting space we need so that we have a place for the website to live and a place for all the show recordings to live so you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes whenever you want, over and over again. Because, I mean, seriously, who wouldn't want to have these moments happen for them again and again? So what you need to do while I work on my diction, is just hop online, go to your favorite social media, and give TSO host a little bit of online love and thank them for being here supporting us, because without their generous support, we literally would not be here. The resources that it takes to do what we do would be way beyond our reach. So we really, really appreciate what TSO host is doing. Now, as if that's not enough, they are offering a great deal for people who are BTN fans. So what you do is go to their website. Like if you're buying a domain name, use their service. And if you need hosting, great. They'll take care of you for that too. Get everything in your cart. Then use the discount code BTN20 and you get 20% off your order, which is just super generous and super nice of them. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Now, Patrice, I will very graciously hand it over to you, if you don't mind, to tell people about the chat.
Of course. So we have a really awesome live chat where we not only put all the links that we just talked about, so you will find all the news stories and some also extra links that we found and found relevant that we maybe didn't even mention on the show, but we also put like little side comments and banter on it. And we have people in there that we talk to usually. Today it's a little quiet. I don't know. It's probably everybody's getting ready for the Easter weekend. But yeah, it's a really awesome chat. And if you want to join that, the live chat, and interact with us live, which you can do, we record this show every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, whatever that is in your time zone. By the way, also the Mac show on Fridays, if you're into the Apple side of things, 4 p.m. UK time on Fridays. And then you just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. It's that easy. Just point your browser to that and you can chat with us. It's really cool. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form whenever we post that. And yeah, you still want to get to the links and you still want to see what we've talked about. Unfortunately, live chatting doesn't work that way, so we can't do that. But you can at least get to the links and see everything. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up where you have to select the date. And you select today's date, today as we are recording this. So not when you're listening to it in 2055 or something. I hope the world is still around in 2055.
Right.
So you have to put in today's recording date. And that is the 6th of April, 2023. And when you do that, you will see everything that we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. You rock. Hey. And so that means it's now time to do some cool things. So who has the first cool thing? All right, so it's been a great show. Oh, okay.
I'm going to do some shilling for the company I work for today, just because we've got a good product. We've just released version 12. And a thing that we do is we have a free version of the paid product. It's an enterprise-class backup solution called Veeam. And for 10 users, for 10 workloads, as we call it, that's completely free. So if you want to back up your data, you can. It's a Windows-only platform. You can download it. You can back up your NAS. If you've got a smaller, I mean, we're talking to people here now that are slightly techy at home. If you've got a small Hyper-V set up or a small vCenter, you want to back up the VMs, yeah, no problem. We can help you with that. And it's free. It's a great product. They've also got products that work in Azure and Salesforce and other stuff. But it's, as I said, for a very small sort of user base, free stuff. I can't sort of stress enough the importance of good old bits of backup 1, 2, of the old backup 1, 2, 3 analogy. It's one of our sort of core founding principles of the company I work at. So three copies of your data, one original, one on site, one off site, one offline, two different types of media. Good tool. Nice. And because it's proper sort of enterprise class tool rather than being some hokey thing that someone's thrown together with a few bits of X copy and stuff. It's actually a proper tool designed for the job. But yeah. So yeah, I'll shill for my company for a change.
Wow, this is great.
That's really cool. And I love that there's a free option.
Yeah. Yeah, community mm-hmm. edition. And it's supported. We have our forum.veeam.com you can go to get support and help. So you're not on your own either.
Very nice. Cool. All right. So Ben, I believe you got the next thing on the list.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be surprise, sticking with gaming.
Total shock. I'm glad I was sitting down.
Yes. So for, I believe it is for Earth Day this year, Microsoft is releasing a special edition of their Xbox controller that is made from recycled materials, specifically jugs, CDs, and other plasticky things. It is in kind of the recycling-friendly colors of green, other greens, brown. It's kind of more.
So let me guess, they used Windows CDs.
Well, CD is the biggest supply in the world.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yep. This will be people have been saying it costs a little bit more. It actually doesn't. The $85 price tag includes not just the controller, but the extra $20 battery pack as well. So you cut down on disposable batteries. And I have to say, it actually looks pretty cool. And, you know, since everything works with everything now, you know, you got a Windows PC, you got an Xbox, you got an Apple device. It works with them all.
Nice. You got an
Amiga, works with that too?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, he'll just say that he'll just see the Amiga. It's like, we don't have the same standards, but I just got to work with this.
It's like you've been there, Ben.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. My second cousin used to work for Commodore.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Nice. Very nice. Okay. So, Tom, I believe you have the next cool thing.
All right. My cool thing is a video from PBS here in the U.S., the public broadcasting system. And I'm not sure with geofencing how it's going to work, if other people outside the U.S. can see it or not. I stumbled upon this. I had never heard of this person. It was a fascinating story. It's a story about Maria Telkis, who's a Hungarian-American scientist who did a lot of work on solar power in sort of the early to mid 20th century. Oh, you can't get a picture. Sorry. Okay, so I picked something up.
Amazon.
Yeah, with a VPN, you can fix all those.
Okay, so if you know how to use a VPN, or I can open up my network, you could. fascinating story, you know. I think of solar as, you know, maybe you heard about some work in the 60s or 70s or something, but she was working on it, you know, in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And it was fascinating to see how they, how she and her team and the other teams involved in doing solar work sort of evolved from step to step and realizing that this would work or that wouldn't work and where to place the solar panels and how to build a house to take, you know, maximum of advantage. And of course, one of the first things they came up with, wow, solar power is great, except when the sun goes down. So they started working on storage technology, and she worked on, she was a chemistry major, I think, in college. And anyway, she ended up using sodium sulfate, what is commonly known as globular salt, as a way to store the solar power, you know, the liquid to solid sort of transition
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they built this house. They had big barrels of globular salt. Anyway, it sort of worked. They built a demo house, but, you know, it was such a crazy setup with pipes and, you know, all these weird chemicals that things started leaking or whatever, didn't work out. But mm-hmm. it was a fascinating story.
That's really cool. And I live in a place where this is not geo-fenced out, so it'll be much easier for me to add it to my watch list. Awesome.
Cool. Yes. Today's big show is brought to PBS viewers like you.
Yeah, that's right.
Now pay us.
Right.
Right. Okay, so Patrice, it's time for your cool thing.
Yeah, my cool thing. I picked a book that I've had on my list for a while, and I thought, with everything going on in, well, especially the US and like also like on social medias, the Fediverse right now is also quite heavily on like transgender issues or transgender topics and trying like rallying up support and so on. I thought I would recommend a really good book. It is She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders by Jennifer Finney Boylan, who like she describes her transition and from a like I think she's a professor at some university, if I remember correctly. I think was it English department, something like that. And transitioning like to her real gender and like how that worked with like a family and a wife and just like everything that goes with that. And it's a really, really, really good book. And it's like it's all about finding herself and the love that she has with her wife and the support that she has in like her family and her friends and so on. And how sometimes it's obvious to others what is not obvious to yourself. Like others were saying, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. Like, I always knew something was going on, and now it makes sense, and stuff like that. And also like her best friend and how he struggled through it a little bit because they'd known each other for so long and didn't know, and stuff like that. It's just a really, really good book. I think her story was somewhere in the news in the US, probably like 10, 15 years ago. So which is also described in the book. So yeah, it's just a really good book. And if you want to know more and if you want to maybe learn a little bit and also learn how you can be supportive and all of that, I can just highly recommend that one.
Awesome.
She's an American?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, somewhere East Coast, if I remember correctly. Like,
cool.
It's been a while that I've listened to this one, but it is on my favorites list, and I listen to it like every now and then.
All right, it's on my list now too. Awesome. Okay, so then I believe I'm the only one left.
Yes.
And my cool thing today is just wonderfully superficial. It's a webpage called The Uncomfortable, and
so about it's about us.
It's about us. Yep. Superficial and uncomfortable and completely impractical. So this person, I'm not even sure who it's Caterina Camprani. I don't know who she is, but there we go. So Caterina has designed all of these things that are incredibly inconvenient everyday objects. So like right now I'm looking at a flower watering pot where the nozzle part that pours the water on the plants is aimed back into the pot. Rubber boots where the toes are missing.
I like the eyeglasses.
The owl eyeglasses. Yeah, how about the fork with the chain in the middle?
Or the wine glass. You could get stupid drunk with the wine glass like that.
Right.
And wet as well.
And wear it. Yeah, you could wear it. Yeah.
Yep.
Get wet. Absolutely get wet with it.
Oh, I like the double champagne glass.
The double champagne glass is nice.
You need two of you to drink it, though, together. Otherwise, you're going to get wet.
Yeah. I like
the
big pot where both handles are on the same side. Inflatable doorknob,
stairs that go to nowhere,
and also get increasingly narrower. This inflatable spatula.
This is crazy.
Yeah. I hadn't noticed this before. There's a key where the handle part would be. It's flat. So when you put the key into the lock, it now just sits flat against the lock.
So you can't turn it.
So you can't turn it.
Oh, man. You can't buy these, though, right?
No. She's designed all of these as 3D renders.
Oh, these are 3D renders. That's hilarious. I would buy some of these for a gift.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I would definitely get someone. Oh, my God. There's a mug where the handle is sideways. So you have to hold your mug like this.
That would be a great gift.
That would be a great gift. The spoon with the cover over the end. It's like everything here is just awesome.
That's wild.
So anyhow, yeah, the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with that, well, we made it to the end of the show. And even with the fact that we didn't bother getting around to the show for quite a while, we still haven't run over by that much. So with that, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on The Big Show on Thursdays and also Fridays on The Mac Show, as I mentioned before. You can find everything I'm doing, literally all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, the like whatever I'm doing, all of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really awesome people talk about food-related stories and memories, I have a really cool show called Foodie Flashback, where I finally got back to posting episodes. Actually, should edit another one this weekend. And that is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And it is a fun show. Even though it's been a long time since I've been on, I still have happy memories of recording, talking about bread.
Mm-hmm. And mayonnaise.
And mayonnaise. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here every week on The Big Show, as always. And if I'm not here, I'm sometimes in the Slack room, and I'll be on LinkedIn as Ian Grant. They're usually easy places to find me.
Awesome. Awesome. And Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me on the social media of choice at Ben Raythig. My website, raythig.tech. You can find me tonight on In Touch of iOS with Dave Ginsberg, and in most Tuesdays, Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner, who I bribed to get on the show.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Chuck to start bribing me to not be on the show. We'll see just how long he can go. Yeah. And Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me. Probably the easiest place is on the Mastodon Fediverse. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome. All right. So I think that leaves just me now. All right. So on pretty much all the socials, still got to work on that diction. Jay Gamut. The platforms I'm most active on right now are Instagram and Mastodon. Then for podcasts, most Tuesdays with Ben on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Then on Thursdays here on The Big Show. Then most Thursday evenings on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Also with Ben. I feel like I'm just especially lucky because I get to hang out with Ben three times a week now. Wait, it depends. It can be four times a week now. Wow. People are going to talk, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then on Fridays, The Mac Show. And then also on the Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, and then other shows along the way. So with that, wow. Thank you for giving me such a wonderfully fun ride today. All of you are wonderful and awesome, and I love you. And I can't wait for tomorrow to do it again, and then next week to do it again. This is just awesome. So thank you. And everyone that is watching or listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. You are all awesome too. Everyone that that watches or listens to the recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. You are fantastic. Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, hey, thanks for finding people for the shows and making sure we actually have people and get better. It's been quiet without your really bad jokes around here. Anyhow, we miss you. And a shout out to TSO Host for being here supporting us. Thank you, TSO Host. All right. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac show. And I will drop a little bit of teasing foreshadowing. I already know what my cool thing for tomorrow is. And I'm pretty sure there will be multiple people on the show that go, holy crap, are you serious?
I'm hoping it's not the same as mine.
If it is, then it just means it's that much cooler. And yes. And if it is, well, then I will have to scramble to find something quickly. Yeah. Anyhow, so tomorrow for the Mac show. And then don't forget to join us again next Thursday for the big show. Everyone, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again next week.